teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Here we go. When we say this is the Great Commission, a commission, if you look up the definition of the word commission, it is our purpose. If you want to look at it a different way, these are the Savior's last words before he went to heaven, before he ascended. If your mom or your dad told you something before they passed, their last words, would those be important to you? You can look at this at the Great Commission. This is our purpose given to us by our Savior. You can also look at these words. These are the last words given to us by our Savior, not before he died, praise the Lord, but before he ascended to heaven. These should be very important words. These words define our purpose as a Christian. What am I supposed to be doing now that I'm saved? Okay, I'm supposed to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Matthew 16:15, if I wanted to look at that. But this is three phases. God says, go ye therefore and teach, baptize, and then verse 20 says, teaching them to observe. Here's very important. As a Christian, our purpose is threefold. It is to get people saved. That's what we've been told to do. But it does not stop there. Then we're supposed to get people baptized after they've been saved. Then it does not stop there. Then we're supposed to teach them how to observe the commandments of the Lord, or what did Jesus tell us to do. This is very important because somebody said, if you aren't careful, a church ends up being a culture club. Nothing wrong with that. Most churches are filled with nice people. You know, they'd feed you if you needed clothing, and they'd feed you if you were sick. And most churches are, there's a few jerks out there. I think I said that yesterday. There's a few ding-dongs, but most churches are filled with nice people. But how do you keep our church from becoming a culture club or an entertainment center? You keep the focus on what Jesus told us to focus on. The thrust of our church and the purpose of our church is supposed to be to get people saved, to get them baptized, and then to teach them to do what? Get people saved and get them baptized. Train soul winners. That's why it would help if you knew. For instance, I'm kind of a geeky guy. I teach from a tablet, no problem. My dad bought this for me. It's a little computer. Things like that. I'm not so techie, though. I don't have to have screens. Every once in a while, I'll use a computer with PowerPoint. We did that on Wednesday night every once in a while. But I don't have to have that all the time. I have a nice, the church bought me a iPhone. I love texting and email, you know what I mean, because I can instantly access everybody. I like that. But I don't have to have the latest technical stuff. However, it would help you to know as a church member, when you give money, our thrust is getting people saved. You understand? Let me show you something. I did it yesterday in the meeting. When we print a bus track, okay, this is if you've never looked at our bus track, it gives the gospel, but it tells the purpose of the bus ministry of when we pick up children, and then it has a permission form for the parents to sign. Getting this track printed was, I think, $210 or $215. That was for 5,000 of them. You'll see them on the track rack out there. Great. We spent money on that. That's good. Next, this gospel track here. Okay, this is, I call this the shower laminated track. Okay, you can read this in the shower if you need to. That's funny. Don't humor me by laughing. This track here, we sent it off. This was $240 or $250 for 5,000 of them. Already I've talked to you about almost $500 that we've spent in just gospel tracts. You say, why would we do that? So everybody has something to take and give out at work and give out where you're at. It's good to know that the money's being spent on getting people saved. You understand? You say, next, I'll teach you this morning, the tithe, it pays, where does the money for my salary come from? It comes from the tithes and offerings of God's people. When we ran the van this morning, they had 14 people on the van this morning. Glory to God. okay? When we start running the buses, when we get a driver, okay? When we start running the buses, those buses get, diesel gets 7 miles to the gallon. And we live in a rural area. It's going to cost us about probably $50 every Sunday to run the bus out and then run and drop the kids off. Okay? The money goes to the focus of our church. I'm for having activities. That's why we'll go up to the Capitol. Next month, we'll have an activity about once every 2 months. Nothing wrong with that. But how do you keep our church focused on what God told us to focus on? Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, keep the emphasis on getting people saved, teaching them to get baptized after they're saved, and then helping them to learn how to give the gospel and making them a disciple. Mark 16, 15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now let me introduce you to you. That starts us here with what we're supposed to do. Go to Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Go to Acts 1:8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Very helpful verse. And if you don't have it marked in your Bible, you ought to. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye, this is our Savior's words here, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Then you have three places, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. First part of that verse says this, a Christian is supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. When you get saved, then the one who comes in you, you let him control your life. It's not a spookiness. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't act weird. You don't act goofy or spooky. The main thing a person that's filled with the Holy Spirit does is they get other people saved. Okay? It's not the speaking in tongue Pentecostal garbage. These words here are very strong. Watch this. Right after it says that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, watch this, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's very strong. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you shall be a witness for the Lord. You'll be a witness to help people get saved. That's why if you aren't careful, mission starts with what we do at home. Then missions goes to, starts in Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, and then the third part is where? To the uttermost part of the world. So somewhere along the lines, our church is supposed to be getting people saved here. Then we're supposed to be getting people saved across seas, overseas. All right? If we're doing what God told us to do. That is where missions comes in. Missions, the word missionary means one who is sent. The word missions means to send. You say the word missionary is not found in your Bible. But the concept is. It's just like the word rapture is not found in your Bible. But the concept's there. The word Trinity, God, Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Trinity is not found in your Bible, but the concept is there. Okay? Same thing with missions. Missions means to send. At home, we have home missions. That is church planting. That is our bus ministry. We invest in the buses or the van to go out, get people, bring them in. And then also, I just described to you our tracks, our soul winning here. This is home missions. Then we have foreign missions. Okay? Now, which is going to include, basically, church planting and most missionaries who go to a country. I don't care if it's Nigeria. I don't care if it's I know a missionary in Bulgaria. I know missionaries a lot of places. They lead the people to Christ. They do what Paul did. They lead people to Christ. They teach them the Bible. They baptize them. Then they teach them to pastor. Then when that church is ready overseas, then they go out and they plant another church. That's what Paul did. That's the pattern. That's what we're supposed to be doing here. We get people saved. We get them baptized. We teach them. And then we teach them to pastor. And you say, I haven't heard that before. Well, wait a second. You know the Muslims? They said the Muslims are the fastest growing religion in the world. I think we're too casual about what we do. Did you know one of the clerics over in with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, a journalist, wrote this? We're the fastest growing because when we teach somebody to convert to Islam, we teach them to preach. That's pretty aggressive. In America, if you get saved, you get baptized, man, we're just tickled if you read your Bible. You know what I mean? Oh, good. Yeah, it is a good book, isn't it? But if you aren't careful, you get such a casual approach to Christianity that it's kind of like, oh, good, I'm saved. I think Christianity can be more aggressive than it is. Do you understand? And there's a reason. There's a reason Islam is growing everywhere. Okay? They've been in America. They said in the past, since 1984 to the last 25 years, they've put over 20,000 mosques in America. Okay, 20,000. And we have churches closing 4,000 a year in America. Something's wrong. You understand? Somebody's not hitting it the right way. You understand? Now, when you take this, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 tells us that we're supposed to go to Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. The idea of sending a missionary away from the church, not just down the road, but the idea of sending a missionary to another country happens with Paul's first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13, verses 1. Can we go there? You're in Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter 13. This is where the Apostle Paul in chapter 9, he gets saved. Then Peter kind of fades off the scene, and the Apostle Saul, he's named Paul then, and he gets saved, and he starts coming on the scene, and then they go up to Antioch, and Barnabas and Paul are together. Now watch what happens. Here we go. They've grown to the point. Look at verse 1. I'll just read the first four verses to you. Watch this. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord, watch this, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul. That word Saul is talking about the Apostle Paul. Okay, it's talking about Paul. This is his old name. Ready? It says, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. There's the missionary concept. What's the word missionary mean, or missions? It means to send. They sent them away. Then look at verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And you can read the rest of the chapter about the first missionary journey in the, I want to call it the Bible, but they've been told, see, watch this. This idea of getting people saved, this was supposed to happen in the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi. But if you remember, think with me just for a second, think through King David and Abraham. And I'm sorry, it'd be Abraham, David. Think through the prophets, Isaiah. Where in the Old Testament did a Jew go to another country to convert the people to Judaism? Jews are very prejudiced people. I mean, they hate Gentiles. Okay? They're nasty. As a matter of fact, you'll find verses where the Jews were told, go, okay. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, right? They that go forth weeping shall come again, bearing their sheaves with them. Psalm 126. Those are verses on soul winning. But where in the Old Testament did a Jew go soul winning? You won't find very many. As a matter of fact, Jonah is the only one I can think about that went to Nineveh, but it took him having a nightmare and being swallowed by a whale to go to somebody that wasn't a Jew. Yeah, and then he was ticked off about it the whole time. Fine, 40 days and Nineveh's going to be destroyed. Hope all of you die. You know, wow, what a love-filled preacher. Think with me just for a second. In the Old Testament, they were supposed to go soul winning and the Jews didn't. Then, their lack of soul winning, or their lack of doing what they were supposed to do, I think blinded their eyes. They got wrapped up in their customs and their laws and their ordinances. And then when the Messiah came, they missed him. You're not the one. We'll crucify you. A one we're going to has come, sets us free from Caesar, gets us out of Roman rule. And they missed the Messiah. Now, the Jews, Israel's been set on a shelf. They're going to be reinstated after the rapture. Now guess who has the commission? The Gentiles. Anybody in here half-blooded Jew? How about quarter Jew? How about eighth Jew? Okay, all of us are Gentiles. Okay? Because there's only two nationalities in the Bible, Jew and Gentile. So we have been given, the Gentile church has been given the Great Commission, or the purpose of getting people saved. Now, you have in the church, the Holy Ghost sends men forth. I believe one day we're going to have men called to preach in our church. And then, as we pray and as we go soul winning, God's going to touch one of those men. And he's going to say, I want you to go start a church. Well, no, we're supposed to keep everybody here, help our church get bigger and bigger. You don't find that in the Bible. Not one of us would turn away anybody that comes to church. But we're not supposed to be walking into our church doing this way. We're not supposed to walk into church going, wow, metal building, 10 acres. I wonder when God's going to give us a church that'll hold 1,000 people here. We have a wonderful church. What you're supposed to do when you come to church is this. I hope you see all of Southern Maryland. I hope you see this area. I drive through here. We haven't touched the hem of the garment on soul winning. There's so many people here. The purpose of our church is reaching this area. And watch this. One church can't do it. I like what Brother Connor said. When we have a good day in church, we all win. Because we're all trying to get people saved. We're all trying to get people in church. We're all trying to influence people for the Lord. You're supposed to be able to say this. I wonder when one day you walk into church and you go, Lord, thank you. It's been good to be with God's people. Lord, I wonder when one day are you going to use our church to start another church? Maybe 45 minutes from here. Maybe an hour from here. I believe if Jesus tarries, I think that's going to happen. I think that's a good, healthy prayer. It's what they did in the Bible. Do you understand? They sent Paul away. He goes on his first missionary journey. We're not going to look at it this morning, but watch this. Then the next time they go out is three chapters later in chapter 16. And you have to understand, when you read chapter 15 of Acts, and we'll cover this when we teach the book, they come back from their missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas, and they're going, wow, we had people saved here and in this city, and the Jews had never heard. You mean Gentiles are getting saved? Yeah, and they got baptized too, and there's churches starting. What? All of chapter 15 is a bunch of Jews getting together going, what are we going to do with these Gentiles getting saved? Well, we've got to tell them something. And I'll help you with that when we go through the book of Acts. All I'm trying to tell you is this concept of getting people saved here and then going to the world. I believe a healthy church does more than gets people saved locally. We're supposed to be getting people investing in missionaries who go. Our church has 18 missionaries. It takes $850 a month from our church to support the missionaries that we have. Next week, I think, on the back of the bulletin, I'm going to put a list of our missionaries, how much money they get a month from us. I think there's a few that get $25 a month. Most of them get $50 a month. And you'll be able to see, I'm trying to find out, Brother Bernie is helping me, but how long have we supported these missionaries? That would help. I think I've only met three of our missionaries that we support here. I think if you're supporting them and they're soul winning, I think it'd be nice to know the missionaries. That's why I encourage them when they're in the area, stop by, I'd like to meet you. You know what I mean? But we have some good missionaries. On Wednesday nights, I want to start reading the letters. A letter a Wednesday night. Let me show you what's happening overseas. The only reason we haven't done that yet is because your pastor is growing into it. Do you understand? And I'd like a man to do that on Wednesday nights. I don't think I need to be doing it, but I'll gladly do it. So if you'd like to do that, come and see me. Okay? There's room in the pew for you. Okay? The reason I'm telling you that is there's foreign missions and there's home missions. If you miss the concept of the Great Commission, then how can you understand missions? We're all supposed to be soul winners. Soul winning isn't a gift. Amen. It's not a talent. It is a command. It is something all of us are supposed to be concerned about. Some of us have done more of it than others. There are some people that you could say are more natural at it than others. But if you think I'm natural at it, oh, Pastor, you're a natural soul winner. You didn't see me when I got saved. My favorite person to be with was me. Do you understand? I didn't go to high school functions. I was probably one of the biggest recluses you've ever seen. I'm not a four-year flower, okay? Just, you know, dancing around and, good morning, how are you? Some people have the gift of gab. This boy wasn't one of them. If you'd have seen me hand out my first gospel tract, I was shaking. I'd never done that before. It was early in the morning. It was five. I still know when. I'd read a book on soul winning. It broke my heart about all my friends that I had never witnessed to that I thought were dying and going to hell. I wept. I got up that morning, 4:30, went to early chow. There were two Marines sitting across the dining hall. And I was like, I'm supposed to give them a gospel tract. I'm sitting all the way over here. I'm the only one. I'm like, man, I kept looking under the milk machine, you know, in the middle. There was an island in the middle and there was tables all the way around. I'm looking under the milk machine going, oh, they saw me. I wish you could have seen me hand out my first gospel tract. I went over to the milk machine. And I was doing this. Oh. I had two tracks. All I'm trying to get you to see is this. Child of God, all of us are supposed to be soul winners. It took me 15 minutes to give out my first two tracks. And then I, when I take men soul winning with me, I'll let you watch me and listen to me and just pray for me, and you don't have to do any of the talking. But the man that taught me soul winning, he said, there's 20 verses, memorize those verses, and then I'll teach you how to win souls. I'd already had most of them memorized, but I remember, okay, so I was working the memory, doing that. Then I watched him lead three Marines to Christ, each individually. Then he said, we're going to the mall today. I'd never been to the mall soul winning. I'd been kicked out of the mall, but I'd never been to the mall soul winning. Do you understand? And I'll never forget it. We parked the car. I was terrified. What do you mean we're going to the mall going soul winning? How come we can't go to church or something? Or go knock? We walk in. There's two Marines walking over there. He goes, go get them, Buster. Like this. I followed them around the mall for about 25 minutes at a distance. They'd turn around. Whose phone was? I'd look at the store. Sure enough, I got to give them gospel track. I remember leading my first person to Christ. His Marine, big old Marine and big studded jacket on Liberty. All I'm trying to tell you this morning is don't get the idea that soul winning is for the pastor. In a healthy church, all the people are concerned about it. Some do it at different levels, but it's supposed to be a concern of everybody's. Now, with that in mind, we got a couple of minutes. Go to John 14. Go to John 14, 12. Ready? I'm going to cover these verses here with you real quick, and I want you to see something. John chapter 14, look at verse 12. These are verses I'd like you to see later on, but watch this. Jesus said, verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. That's an amazing verse. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, if you'll give yourself to me, you will do greater works than I did. And he's not talking about raising people from the dead and healing the sick. Nobody's been raised from the dead since the apostles died. Do you understand? I don't care what Benny Hinn says. All right? As a matter of fact, I don't know that I ever want to go to a funeral that's been broken up. You know what I mean? It's day three and we're all there gathered for the ceremony, and then somebody just decides, man, I think I'm going to wait another couple of years. Glory to God. Somebody said, he just got up out of the casket and walked. I don't know that I want to see that. All I'm telling you is this. There are some miracles that took place in the Bible that don't take place anymore. But one thing that Jesus did, Jesus said the people, I think it's concerning the people that he reached. He only covered a 60-mile area. You know, Jerusalem down, it was only a 60-mile area. He said, if you believe on me, the works that I did, you'll do greater works. Why? Because of the people that are living now. Do you know how many people we can come in contact with during a day? Our vehicles? I mean, where we go? Many of you cover 60 miles on your way to work, let alone to work and back. Jesus said, you can reach more people than I did in my... Jesus preached for 3.5 years, right? He didn't start preaching till he was 30. He kept his mouth quiet. And then he preached for 3.5 years, and then they crucified him. He said, in your lifetime, you'll be able to reach more people than I did. Now, watch this. You're in John. Go to John chapter 20 and look at, skip over 6 chapters. Watch this. So greater works, John chapter 20. Watch this. Look at verse number 20. Well, you start reading at verse 20, but verse 21 is what I want to show you there. Ready? Start at verse 19. Ready? Ready? John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, so this is Sunday, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. Stop. The doors are shut, and all of a sudden, the risen Savior appears. That's why we say in your new body, after the rapture, when you're in your new body, you'll be able to walk through walls. You'll travel at the speed of thought. You won't travel at the speed of light. You'll travel at the speed of thought. Here's Jesus standing in the midst. Look at the end of verse number. Stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Look at verse 21. This is what I'd like you to see. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. To me, it's a very strong verse. It rocked my world as a Christian. That means the same reason Jesus was sent, I am being sent when I get saved. Christian, when you get saved, you're being sent to do the same thing Jesus was sent here to do. What was he sent to do? This will be the last verse we look at. Go to Luke chapter 19. Go back. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Go back to Luke 19. Look at Luke 19, verse 10. If you mark this down and you look at it later, it's good to ponder. It's good to ponder. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So let me get this straight. That's why Jesus was sent here, to seek and to save that which was lost. My purpose is the same. Christian, your purpose is the same. It's not the Super Bowl. I'm amazed that people would miss church for the Super Bowl in the days of DVRs. You can record the stupid thing without commercials, and then the Panasonic digital video recorder, you can set in reverse and it'll record the commercials without the game. You could do two. If you had two of them, you could record the commercials and watch those if that's your favorite part of the Super Bowl, or you could watch the Super Bowl without the commercials. And then you say, well, it's so dominating, I've got to see it right when it... If you record it, you could watch it 3 times in a row. For the life of me, I don't understand. But that's the day and age we live in. I understand that. Somebody said, you know, we're doing the Lord's Supper on Super Bowl night? I said, I didn't think that one through until earlier this week. You can tell I'm really up on the Super Bowl, can't you? All I'm telling you is this. Our cause and the reason you were saved is to get other people saved. I think the Bible's very clear on that. I don't think it's like, well, that's your interpretation, this is mine. We're all supposed to be concerned about people not dying and going to hell. We're all supposed to be concerned about that. And I like I'll say this and then I closed. A trucker walked up to me when I was in Tennessee. I taught this lesson. I went into it a little more in depth. He came up to me and he goes, what you teach on our purpose burdens me. He said, it's a weight. He said, what do I do with that burden? I said, I can tell you what I do with it. It pushes me to my knees and it helps me pray. Dear God, give me your power. Work through me. You say, well, you're supposed to do that because you're the pastor. This morning's Sunday school lesson, I wanted you to see missions, but you're supposed to do that because you're a Christian. You're supposed to do that. It's a good weight. And it's a weight that I've learned in being church. I've been saved now 30 years. I've been in the local New Testament church work for 26 years. Every once in a while, I'll meet a Christian that goes, it's too much. I don't want that burden. And then I watch him run from it. Don't run from it. It's a good burden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and ye shall find rest unto your souls when you do what? Get in the yoke with Jesus and pull. And do what's most important. I hope this is a help to you.